This is another Red FM podcast. And remember, if you enjoyed this episode, for more podcasts, check out redextra.ie. It's full of great Red FM content.
Welcome back to The Life Hustle. This is episode 24, and it's our second part in our food series with Clara Cooney from Clara Cooks. Thank you for all your gorgeous feedback on last week's episode. It was really, really lovely to see how many people Clara inspired and to see individual stories of people who, especially during this time in the lockdown, are looking kind of reflectively at what they're doing and maybe thinking about change in their careers and their lives. I think Clara definitely inspired a lot of people there. And we also saw lots of people who did check out their spice cupboards, and we're going to talk about that in a sec. So look, as the stress of lockdown has taken its toll, many of us have been running to the fridge for comfort. Meals are one of the few pleasures now that we have. Even a simple supermarket delivery or trip to the shops is a highlight of our week. So that's why we're talking about all things food. And this is a really lovely episode because we're going to talk about kitchen essentials. So welcome back, Clara.
Thanks, Eimear. Lovely to be back. And as you said, I actually also got some great feedback from people from last week. I did. And it's lovely, just people kind of in a little bit of a rush and looking at something new. So, I think I'd probably be ending up having a couple of more conversations with people. But yeah, it was really good. And loads of more cooking questions. So hopefully as well after today, we'll have some more people reaching out again to us.
Yes. And you know what? You are inspiring so many people to just get into the kitchen, stop overthinking it and just do it, embrace it and enjoy it. So to begin with, I'm going to start from scratch. And you really are talking to a beginner now when you're talking to me. So bear that in mind if you can. But I am dying to know, what are the top 20 items I need to buy for everyday use in my kitchen?
You mean besides nice wine and good cookbooks, Eimear, is it?
Oh, you know me. You know me so well.
Look, I think it's funny because my new favorite shopping, it's not clothes or shoes anymore or handbags that I used to have so many of. It's now kitchen accessories. So and when I was in Ballymaloe, I used to write on the back of my notebook accessories that they used to pull out, or different kitchen utensils they used to pull out, and I'd be like, well, I'm buying that and I'm getting that, and I'm gradually ticking off my list as we go. Things now like, you know, ice cream machines, which I would have never thought of, potato ricers, but look, let's go back, because we've all started somewhere, and yes, I think
baby steps.
And to be honest, you probably do have most of the, you know, the top essentials that you need to start cooking, because you cook a lot yourself, Eimear, at home anyway. So
I would.
The number one thing, Eimear, for me would be to have a good knife. An absolutely good chef's knife. You can build up on your knives and your sets, but to have one very, very good knife to start off with. We actually got our sets down in Ballymaloe. It was called Victorinox was the actual make, and they're not that expensive, and they're really, really good knives. So we have everything that, you know, we need in the kitchen. You get it with your wallet as well. And you can buy the pack as well if you want online from Victorinox as well. Get one very good one. There's also another brand called Wusthof. It's a spelled W-U-S-T-H-O-F. It's a German brand. You can buy them online as well. Or else, you know, Brown Thomas also sell them here in Cork as well. So they have them as well when they open, should we say.
Can I ask you actually on the knives, is there somewhere you go then to have them sharpened once they get quite blunt? Or can you do that yourself at home? I'm totally clear.
You could do it yourself at home. And but you buy a sharpening tool. So it's just a rod, you know, a sharpening rod. And you buy it. Like, I would sharpen my knives pretty much twice a week.
Would you?
I would. Oh, yeah, absolutely. When we were down in Ballymaloe, we did it every morning before we started cooking. And just get that extra sharpness there. But it does make a massive difference when you're sharpening them. And if you have the tool at home and you just have to learn how to do it, that's it. And I'm sure there's a million YouTube videos out there showing you how to sharpen a knife. And, you know, they're not very expensive to buy as well. So So I looked up kind of a couple of prices then on the knives. I mean, you're looking at probably between 35 and 45 for a really good chef's knife. And it's so worth it because you're going to have it pretty much forever. And then but find the brand that you like and then build on that brand. So, you know, you have chef's knives, you have a fillet knife, you have a fruit knife. There's all different types of knives that you can actually get. But get one really good one that you can use in everyday cooking first.
You know what? I'm actually laughing here now because this is our first tip from you. And I'm just thinking we got this exquisite gift maybe a year ago at home here of this. It's kind of I think it's the Swiss brand of this whole cookery set of knives. They're incredible. And wow, they're thrown up high up in the kitchen way back because the first time we used them at home, somebody cut something, there was blood everywhere and we just put them away. We're like, sure, with the kids now, no way we can have those. But I'm going to take them out now, dust them off and put them somewhere safe and use them. Like, isn't that so typical that you'd have something good and you put it away? But what are we putting it away for, like?
Yeah, exactly. Don't put it out. Oh, that's amazing. Also have some really good bandages in your, or plasters in your cupboard. Believe you me, I have cut my fingers a million times. So, you know, you do. That's what happens. And if you have them sharp, they're going to cut your fingers. So, so do have the plasters on hand. So that's great. Take them out, Emer. I'd love to see them. That's, you know, and you can just start using them away in your own kitchen.
Brilliant.
So the second thing is a chopping board. So now, you don't need, you know, these 17 boards that some might say you do, the board for this, the board for that, and everything else.
Okay.
You need one. I've got one really good chopping board that I use for all prep. And I on one side of the board, it's quite a big, thick wooden board. On one side of the board, I would use it for like kind of meats, raw fish, anything raw, onions, garlic. And on the other side, I'd use it for bread, veg and fruit and stuff. So, and they're really easy to clean. You only need like some salt to rub into the board and hot water. And that's it. That's how you clean your
How did I never know that now about the salt and the hot water?
Yeah, and then it's much better than using, you know, all the plastic boards that are out there at the moment.
You know what? Again, now we got a lovely gift of those plastic ones, but they're, I can't think of the brand now in Brown Thomas, and they stand inside the inside of the door. You know, you just like attach a fitting onto the side of the door and you pop them in. There's two of them and they're very handy, but I just don't like how scratched and, like, I think there's something very authentic about the wood and it's lovely to cook on it. And I like the look of wood in my kitchen anyway. I love natural. Yeah.
Like the one I have, it's huge. It's like it, you know, fits a good portion of my counter and it doesn't come off my counter. It stays on it. Basically, I cook on it all the time and then I clean it down after use. And then I have a smaller board for my bread and stuff like that. That I only use just for my bread. So, but for prepping, it's nearly like having a second counter of where you do your prep, you know? A really good wooden board. And you don't have to pay a fortune. Yes, look, I went to Brennan's in Cork to get mine, and I did spend a bit of money on it, and it is fantastic. And I do you know what I love about the wood as well? I love the scratches in it. You know, the way you said you hate the scratches in the plastic. I think the more scratches you have in the board, it just looks like,
And you know what? It's like that Japanese, I love the Japanese concept of wabi-sabi, you know, that, that's what kind of is endearing about things, that there is that bit of history and they have a bit of a story to them and that shows how much you use it. So that's lovely. Okay.
Exactly. And then you can shine them up with a bit of oil or kitchen paper and oil. That's it. And they look lovely. So get yourself a nice wooden chopping board. That's your next little investment for yourself.
So
the next ones then is your wooden spoons and your spatulas. I've kind of put them together because every single kitchen needs to have them. Do you have spatulas in your house?
I do. Yeah, we actually use that kind of stuff. We use a lot. So we break. So I'm always buying new stuff. I'm always stocking up on those a lot. I must be doing something wrong. So when you come to my house to go through my things, you can tell me.
I have a look at them. But I mean, the spatula, it's my best friend because there's no waste with it every time you're baking or anything like that. Everything comes out of the bowl when you use a spatula. So, and I love that. So the next one then is... is the whisk. So just a hand whisk to have all the time. So I would use that quite a lot, actually, just for, like, you know, scrambled eggs or fluffing up different things. I use, actually, the whisk all the time. So you can get kind of different ones. There's, like, the most common one is, like, it's called the French whisk. It's, like, a little bit like a balloon, you know, that kind of a look. And then the ones I use, it's called the Apollo whisk, which is, like, a circular with wiring right around it, just for me, you know, works. So if I'm doing egg whites, you say I'm doing just a small bit of egg whites, it's brilliant because electric mixers don't get in as much if you're doing it, you know, by your hand. Okay. Same with for making mayonnaise, but see, I would use this all the time, you know, but I always have a whisk in, you know, I think I've had a whisk in even before I went to cookery school, so.
Okay, and I buy mayonnaise, so I definitely need you to come teach me some.
Oh, something. Yeah. It's lovely to make your own. It's really nice. So, and it's really enjoyable as well. So that's the next thing. Number five would be the sieve. So I probably use a sieve for, you know, on a daily basis. I have all different sizes. Okay. It can be used as a strainer to strain out liquids. I use the smaller ones to be doing, I do kombucha and kefir drinks, so I'd be doing that for straining them out. And then, you know, I've got ones that I use for dry ingredients for my baking as well. I mean, you can have a colander as well if you want, but I actually think have a sieve and, you know, you get so much use out of it.
I don't have one. I'd say the last time I used a sieve was in secondary school for home ec.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm literally writing notes as you're speaking here because I thought we were going to launch into, you know, all these fancy equipment and these modern high-tech things. And you've just really shown me that cooking and baking, it's about going back to, you know, the
basics.
Yeah, back to basics. And I've overlooked the basics and given myself this kind of social pressure of, oh, I need this cool new processor, but I don't know what to do with that when I don't have the basic things to make a lovely meal or a simple bit of baking.
Yeah. And you know, this, remember, our moms didn't have the processors or the, you know, the big fancy stand mixers. And we'll talk about those again in a minute. But overall, really, it's having your, you know, your basics that you can actually cook with and bake with in your kitchen. So,
okay. So let's go. So sieve was number five, number six.
Yeah. Number six is, okay, so you're measuring stuff. So a set of actual measuring spoons, people don't realize how important they are. So we'll say you're reading off a recipe, and especially baking, because baking is very scientific. It is down to measurement, right? And it might say a tablespoon of whatever that you're putting in, or a teaspoon. They mean the measuring spoon size, which is a completely different size than your normal one you have in your cutlery. It's just, you know, just having them, because they do make a difference on the actual, on the size when you're doing it. And then, you know, also having your measuring jug. Do you have a measuring jug?
I do. Yeah, a glass one.
Yeah, exactly. So they're really important to have. You can get the measuring cups as well. Cups and measurements is very American. You know, we normally kind of do grams and ounces here. So look, that's next on your list, and that doesn't cost a lot of money at all.
Okay.
Number seven would be a digital scales. And I'm telling you now, a digital scales, I think you can get one for 20 quid. So they are brilliant. I use it every single day. And they come kind of in grams and ounces. You can get small little ones that, you know, but the manual ones, it just doesn't have the exact on it, unless you're buying a really expensive, you know, those big, huge old ones that they used to have. I forget what they're called, but
I actually bought a Salter one recently. I had a digital one and I just didn't buy a very good digital one, I think. And it kept going dead. It was obviously battery or whatever, but it really annoyed me. So I went online and bought an old, really old fashioned Salter one.
And, oh, wow. Yeah.
It's kind of blue. It's gorgeous now in the kitchen, but it's really old school. But like that, you're right. I have to go up really close, put on my glasses, and count out the measurements myself.
You do. You have to count out the measurements. And you just want to be exact as well and sure about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think for me anyway, I've definitely noticed a difference when I'm baking since I moved from manual to digital, the difference in actually that it's making. So
that's interesting.
So that would be number seven. Number eight would be a good saucepans. And you know, I know there's so many deals right now that you can go in, especially as you said, in Aldi, Lidl, buy this set of saucepans, buy that set of saucepans. You go, oh my God, that's really good value. But you do need a really good set of saucepans. It is an indispensable piece of kit for your kitchen. And, you
Isn't
know,
that something... Exciting? We never splurge on something like a saucepan. You know, like if I did have the disposable income any given week and I was in, you know, one of the department stores, there's no way I'd trot over to the saucepans and go, yeah, I get me some saucepans now.
I know. And I bet you use them nearly every day. I bet you use them all the time.
And again, we only moved into our house last August and my mother-in-law got me this divine set of really good copper ones, loads and loads of, like all the different sizes, and a gorgeous kind of stewing pot and the big pan, and they're my most prized possession. I enjoy using them every day, and I thought, you know, how come I kind of overlooked having good pots and pans for years.
Exactly, I know. And like copper, do you have a gas hob, is it?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. Because copper doesn't work on certain cookers. It doesn't work on ceramic cookers or electric cookers.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. So I would always advise people to go and get aluminium because they are so durable. They last so long. You know, they basically have a nonstick coating on the outside and then they have an enamel on the nonstick coating on the inside and an enamel on the outside to prevent it from burning. And you don't need to put these even into the washer, into the dishwasher. Now, you can look for ones that are dishwasher safe, but I never really put my saucepans into the dishwasher. I will.
Yeah.
Suds and water, old style, wash and dry, put away straight away.
Lovely. Okay.
Number nine, and I know this might seem like, what? This is something you should put. A can opener and a corkscrew in your drawer needs to be there. Even if you don't drink wine, number one, you need to have a corkscrew there because, you know, the last thing you want is somebody arriving to your house with a bottle of wine and you're running down to the neighbours asking for a corkscrew to open their wine, which I'm sure it's all definitely happened to me at some stage in my life.
Yes, of course.
But, and the can opener, I mean, not every can has those flick backs that you can open with.
You're right.
So they're so important to have. And again, they're not too expensive, but pay a little bit of money for them so you get a good quality one.
Okay.
And then number 10 would be the grater. Invest in a good grater. Get one that works well, kind of, you know, that has the microblade like on one side for parmesan and zesting and also does the cheese and the veg. You know, you can get all these different types of one, but get a good grater.
So I can't wait to go back tomorrow into my kitchen with fresh eyes and go through everything with this list and really see what I've overlooked in my kitchen.
Exactly. And, you know, there'll probably be stuff in there in your kitchen as well. And you go, I never use that. Or do I need to use that? Or, you know, just doing a clean out of the kitchen is really good. And look, I know I said 10, but I do have one or two more that I think you should have.
Okay.
So, you like to bake, don't you, with the kids and stuff like that. So you have to have your like cake tins and your cake trays, you know, your you know, the rolling pin, just a couple of accessories that you need for actual baking as well. Make sure you have them because, you know, that's the fun part where you're doing an awful lot with the kids as well, where the kids enjoy it and they find it easy. I mean, the kids aren't into cooking the main meals as much as they're into baking cookies and all that stuff. Exactly, and a good casserole dish, Emer, very important. I slow cook so much food in the oven.
Do you?
And if there's, oh my God, you just throw them into a pot and you throw it in the oven and you leave it for 4 hours at a low temperature. And when you take it out, it's the most delicious meal ever. It is fantastic. I do, like a lot of times, you know, I'd have people coming over, I might do beautiful curry or a stew or whatever, a different casserole, I might do the lamb in it. Like I was saying to you today, I did the butterfly leg of lamb in the slow cooker today, and it's just, mouthwatering, just, you know, just melts in your mouth. So really beautiful. So a good casserole dish. And you can even do breads in a good casserole dish, but that conversation is definitely for another day.
Yes, I think so. So I feel at times then, Clara, you know, when I look at buying different equipment for the kitchen, I get confused on what to buy given there are so many different brands, price ranges and different settings. And with myself, I have two really small kids, a husband to look after, and I want to cook nice meals with little effort and also bake with the kids. So where should I start?
You know, I heard a quote once, Eimear, that there was always a food processor in the kitchen, but once upon a time she was called the mum. And it's so true. If you think about like our own mums, I mean, they didn't have a lot of equipment in the kitchen.
No,
they just did everything themselves, and we still ate really well. So
yes,
but you know, we have a different lifestyle now, and we, you know, today's, we've busy lifestyle means we kind of want to get things done a little bit faster if there is options for doing it. And there is options for us to be able to get equipment that, you know, you don't need to spend a massive fortune on, and kind of takes over a lot of the labor intensive parts of cooking. So you can just get the cooking done and enjoy the time with the family then as well. I've had a food processor for years and years and years. I mean, I bought, I'm back from Australia 7 years now, and I had bought a food processor over in New Zealand, and I only changed it this year. Okay. So it lasted that long, and I think I spent $40 on it.
Okay.
And it had absolutely everything in it, but I use it for everything. And I mean, this is the thing, you've to kind of look at what you want from, you know, to be able to do. So,
okay.
A food processor, right, can do your slicing of your fruit and your veg. It does your grating. It can mix dough for you. It can pretty much, you know, it does all my, like I do all my hummuses in it. I do pastries in it. I do my pestos in it. I do absolutely everything in it. I do the, you know, the energy balls and the date things. And I know you were asking me about that the last time as well.
Yes.
A food processor to me is the one piece of equipment that I absolutely could not live without.
Okay.
And it was kind of an unknown brand that I had. And then I invested this year. I bought the Kenwood Multipro that does everything. I have the food processor, the blender, the juicer and the stand mixer all in one. Now, there was a reason I was doing that as well, is because I had all different equipment and it was just taking up too much room. And I just went, right, okay, I just want one that's going to do everything for me.
Okay. So if you're limited with space in your kitchen, that's another reason.
Yeah.
To get an all-rounder.
Yeah.
Okay.
An all-rounder, exactly. So, but then, you know, okay, so if you're in your kitchen and we'll say you're not really doing an awful lot, you just kind of, you want something to make it easier. There's also mini choppers that you can get. So you can get these little mini choppers that also have a hand blend attachment to it as well. A hand blender, you know, to blend your soups and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So,
okay.
There's so many options out there. You don't need to get the big, you know, piece of equipment, but there are ones. So what I did is I looked up a couple of them for you. And so you can get mini choppers that also have a handheld blender for €25. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You can get these in Currys. Okay. In Mahon Point in Cork. So, and all these different types of stores will have loads of different options. Even Argus has them as well.
Okay.
You can go and get your Kenwoods or your KitchenAids, but they're the ones that are going to cost you the money, okay?
Okay.
So there are brands that aren't as well known, but they'll do whatever you want. You need to look at, firstly, the size of the bowl that it comes with.
Okay.
So you want a decent size if you're going to be doing a lot. You want to look at the attachments it comes with. So they'll normally have choppers, they'll have graters. I mean, yeah, there's things like I'll still chop manually. You know, I always do my onions and I do my garlics and stuff like that. But there are things that you can actually just put into the processor. And it's the same with, I love making the desserts with the dates and the nuts and the coconut and the cocoa and whatever. It takes 2 seconds and all of a sudden you've desserts ready for the kids. And the kids love doing it with you as well. So it's so much fun letting them do that as well. And you know those energy balls, you know them, and the healthy Snickers. I think I've got a couple of recipes up on my page as well.
Yes, actually, I haven't tried them yet. I'm going to try your ones this week actually, because they're a great idea. And you know that they're good eating. Like, you know, it's actually, you know, it's great to have those things in the fridge for the kids to chomp.
Oh my god, they're amazing. I mean, I just pass them around to all the family, but they're healthy. And they're delicious, and they will totally, for anyone who's got a bit of a sweet craving, they'll get rid of that anyway as well. So
brilliant.
So, you know, you can go and buy your food processor for 400 or more, definitely. But as I said, you've got to look out for offers that are on. So I went onto the Currys website and they had the Multipro that I got, the Kenwood Multipro.
Yeah.
Now they're out of stock, but they're coming back in.
Okay.
I've gone down from 400 to 200.
Okay.
I mean, that's huge, and that does everything. That even has a stand mixer in it. So,
brilliant.
I think you just have to go, right, I'm going to look. And that's, you know, you're guaranteed for sure, like, firstly, the warranty on Kenwood is fantastic, but you're guaranteed for sure that it's a really good make.
Okay.
But to be honest, as I said to you, there are other makes out there that are not as known brands, and they do the job just fine. They do everything that you need to do as well. Okay. So just look around, just be sure that you're getting everything that you need in it. Okay.
Okay.
And I do all the birthday cakes now for everyone. And I think I just fell into that job. It wasn't my forte. I wasn't really into the old baking side of it, but I got into it and I started to love it. But part of loving it is having a good stand mixer as well. So, like, okay. And a good stand mixer, right? It'll mix cake batter for you. It'll do cookie dough. It'll knead bread for you. It'll whip cream. It'll do your egg whites. It'll do absolutely everything you need it to do.
Okay.
And it is so worth the money getting one, especially. And it does bring the love back in, Emma, because without it, I probably wouldn't have made such an effort. I mean, you know, if you're standing there with a, I know you have your, as you said, the Russell Hobbs hand one, but it's not, you know, as much fun when you're standing over a bowl trying to do it all.
No.
where when you have it in the hand mix, in your stand mixer, you're just putting your stuff in and you're letting it do its thing, you know. So,
and you know what, that's funny, because I've been envious of so many people on social media the last couple of weeks who are just, you know, in their kitchens switching on the mixer and they're just popping this in, popping that in, making it look like, oh, you know, and then here's my cake. So I'm like, right, okay, it's that easy. That, you know, I just need to bite the bullet and just get the equipment and get going again.
I'm telling you, baking is easy as long as you have the correct measurements and the right equipment to be able to do it. So again, with the stand mixers, I mean, if you just want to get a standalone, I mean, I absolutely adore the look of the KitchenAid ones. They're just beautiful. They're beautiful. They look amazing. And, you know, Kenwood's been around for a long time. They used to be really old school looking, but they are actually after getting some really nice ones in as well that look quite well as well.
Okay.
So I think, you know, you can still look at going down that route as well and looking at different things you know, the high end ones. But as I said, there are still ones out there that you can get. I looked up a couple there again online. So okay. I found one. There's a Russell Hobbs one, actually. It's a stand mixer. And that was like €89 in Argus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's in Currys again, you could, as I said, the multi-pro for the Kenwood, which is brilliant, gone down from 400 to 200, but it's not, you know, it's coming back into stock, and that does everything.
Oh,
does
so blending, the stand mixer teasing. Is included in that, is it?
Oh yeah, stand mixer, blending, processing and juicing, and it's just one machine and that's it, and you put
that's
it away in your cupboard.
Good value,
that's
isn't it, for the 200?
If they bring that back in. But as I said, keep looking around.
The other thing as well, before you go, that I wanted to have a chat to you about is that I did a clean out after our last podcast of my spice cupboard. I nearly died. I have to admit, there were things in there that were so out of date that, and I probably only used them once. So what's the advice in regards to herbs and spices in our garden?
Okay, so herbs and spices, right? The thing with spices is that majority of the time, a lot of people will buy a spice that they see on a recipe and they never use it again. And that's why you find things that are 5 or 10 years old. The most common spices are the ones that I will always have, and they're constantly being used. Black peppercorns, ground cinnamon, chili flakes, cumin, smoked paprika, chili powder, oregano, bay leaves, and then I have sea salt. I buy the Maldron sea salt, and I use that a lot. But for cooking, I just use I just use the table salt when I'm doing actual cooking.
Okay.
Cloves and ground coriander. So they're kind of my essentials that I always have. Now I have other ones in there as well, but I cook a lot, so it would be different for me compared to what you might be doing.
Okay.
Whole spices, they keep their freshness longer, but they need to be ground down. So you need a pestle and mortar, or you need a grinder to be able to do them.
Forget it. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to do that. And most people don't do that. But ground spices, they last 1 to 3 years, about 1 to 3 years, depending on the spice.
Okay.
So if you're using them quite a bit, and if you just have, the few, as I called out there, that you're going to use that are in a lot of different recipes, then you shouldn't be actually having them out of date there. So Keep them in a cool place.
Okay.
And keep them in sealed containers.
Is it okay? Like I buy most of mine in Mr. Bell's in the market, the English market.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I keep them in those little plastic pots. Are they okay in those?
Yeah, I do have, you see, I have little steel spice jars that I actually use. I put them in and they're not expensive. Again, you can buy them in home store and more, but they just completely trap in the actual air. So, I would, if, because you get quite a lot, I use Mr. Bell's as well, but I transfer them straight into my own spice ones.
Okay, that's something I never would have even thought of doing. So
yeah.
Yep, okay, love it.
And you can buy some nice ones as well that don't cost a fortune for storing them in. So don't sprinkle your spices over your hot dishes, because actually they're going to get wet and it's going to ruin the spice, and that's the end of that.
Really?
It's because the steam will go into the spice. If you pour it over from the bottle or whatever, it's different if you're just putting it from your spoon. You probably are, but there's a lot of people, you know, who would buy those jars, those bottles,
and they hold it over the pan. I get you. Okay. Yeah.
And right. Then the steam, and actually you will notice that, you know, it does something to it that actually, you know, the smell goes and the flavor goes off it. So you don't want that to happen. So,
very interesting.
And as I said, you know, we talked about earlier, measure correctly, always use the right spoons. Even like, so, you know, for cooking, when it comes to spices, I know that we're saying baking is scientific, but when it comes to spices, the majority of recipes you'll get have been tested completely. So if they say a teaspoon, they mean a teaspoon, you know, and a measured spoon, not a tablespoon. So, you know, you play around. I experiment with my cooking too, but, you know, certain dishes require exact amounts. So that's kind of around the spices side of it. Just make sure that they're always tightly closed, put away back after use into a cool storage place. Herbs. I much prefer to use fresh herbs than the dry herbs.
I sometimes feel that the taste isn't the same from the dry herbs anyway.
No, it isn't. Now, and also people don't realize as well. So, you know, if they say on a recipe, a tablespoon of fresh herbs, whatever, ground fresh herbs, it's actually... The taste is stronger in dried herbs. So you don't need a tablespoon of it. You only need about a teaspoon of it. So dried herbs are different as well. They're stronger than the fresh herbs. But still, even at that, I just love the flavor of fresh herbs. I just think it makes a massive difference. So a lot of people, you see, will go to the supermarket and go, I need to buy this. And they just buy the packets.
Yeah.
But it's not that hard to actually, you know, grow your own at home. So,
And so many of these can be like grown on a balcony or a windowsill, can't they?
Yeah. So look, you can get containers. It's quite easy to grow your own. They grow well indoors and outdoors. It depends on kind of what you have. So I think really it's about kind of looking at if you can do indoors or if you can do outdoors firstly, and then kind of picking out the little pots. So my mum has loads of like plant pots outside her conservatory door, and there's all different herbs in every different one of them. It's fantastic. She just goes out with her sisters and cuts up her herbs. And my sister has, it's like a mini little glass house, and she has all her plants in there, and they grow really well. And that sits outside as well. I have an allotment, so I grow a lot of my own veg, and I've got my herbs and everything like that as well. But just for here at home, I always have my pots in a container on my windowsill. You know, the containers, you can get clay ones, wood ones. The most important thing about it is actually having drainage. So, you know, the way a lot of the times you would buy pots and there's holes at the end.
Yes.
That is so that they can actually drain. And then choosing your herbs. If I was just starting off, I would be kind of looking at the simple ones like parsley, basil and mint. They're really good starters.
Can I ask you as well, with your Clara Cooks business now,
Are
you going to be helping people with all of these tips? Because I think this is really, really valuable information. I've gotten a whole page of notes here from you just from chatting to you.
Yeah.
I'd love you to come to my house and do this. Is that something you hope to do as part of your new business?
It is. It's actually, we were talking about this the last time, and it's one element of, you know, of the business. So I think if I'm talking to you now and if I'm out in your house, Emer, you know, it's it makes it more personable. So I'm able to kind of sit down and see what you have in your kitchen. And I notice as well, a lot of people, sometimes they don't kind of know where to start, or they're nearly afraid to ask for help in their kitchen as well. And, you know, classroom classes, I love it. But don't get me wrong, I actually think they're fantastic and they're fab and they're good fun. But if you really, you know, are starting from scratch, a lot of the time you don't really want to put your hand up and say, I can't do this, I don't have that, I don't really understand that, how do I do this? So if I'm going to your kitchen, it also means that we're working from your kitchen. So everything we do is going to be suiting you anyway. So there's different kind of programs. I do a 3-day program, which is going to be spaced out. Day one, I'll come over, we'll just sit, we'll chat, we'll have coffee, we'll talk about what you want to achieve. Okay. We'll have a look at what's in your kitchen. We'll talk about things that aren't there that you're going to need, depending on what you want to actually cook. And you know, we look up prices and stuff like that as well. And, you know, maybe look at a couple of utensils. A lot of the time, I have found that there's a lot of things in people's kitchen that they didn't even realize they had, or they might not know how to use it or what they use it for.
Okay.
So that's what we kind of do on day one. And then on the second day, you know, it's kind of like pantry day, as we talked about. We look at all your herbs, we clean out any of the dry goods. So herbs, spices, flours, sugars, pastas, rices, all that kind of stuff. We look at them, clean them out, see what else you need to have in there. And you know, from the day one, I'll already have kind of created a shopping list from our discussions about what you want to actually learn how to cook and the different types of recipes you want to do. You know, there's usually a list. So we'll go shopping then as well on day two, and we will go shopping for the food, and we'll also go shopping for any of the dry essentials that you need. And then on the third day, we're just going to cook, have loads of fun baking and cooking, and that's pretty much it. And we'll do that kind of, that's like a starter pack. But I'll also be doing things like, for instance, Emma, you're a good cook anyway. You might say, do you know what? I actually, you know, you like cooking. You do cook.
So. I won't starve. My family won't starve.
Exactly.
But I can definitely give some pointers.
There might be things like, you'll just say, you know what, I don't need the basics, but I think I have everything, but I'd love how to cook this. Or I want to have a dinner party and I want to like blow their minds. So okay, we might create a menu and I'll go out and spend a whole day with you. I'll have given you the shopping list already, and we'll go out and spend a whole day and we'll cook it all together and we'll get it all prepared. Or the easy way out, Emer, is just, you just bring me into your house and I'll cook for you. So there you go.
I think I'm gravitating towards that one right now.
Right now, exactly. Everyone is right now. they're over the cooking side of things.
That's fantastic. That's absolutely brilliant. Clara, thank you for educating us again on another angle of food and
you're so welcome.
Kitchen essentials. I mean, again, you know, I spend so much time aimlessly scrolling on Facebook, and I see all these fabulous, you know, modern recipes and things being made, and I'm like, but sure, I can't make that. I don't have, and as you said, I probably do have the equipment in my kitchen. It might look a bit different, but it's just the confidence, really, and going back to basics and having the right things in your kitchen. It really is where it starts, isn't
it? Absolutely, it is.
Okay, well, that was such a lovely chat. I hope that all of our listeners got something from that. We are going to have another chat in a couple of days' time. The third episode, Clara, do you want to tell everyone what it's about?
Yes, we're talking about shopping local, shopping with your local suppliers. I'm very, very passionate about making sure that, you know, the produce I get, I know where it's come from. I spend a lot of time in the English market. And a lot of people sometimes think that it's quite a lot bit more expensive, and it's not. But we're going to talk about what people are doing differently right now. This time, there's a lot of people who are doing deliveries or click and collects, but really just looking at how we're supporting our local businesses right now.
Brilliant. I really can't wait for that, because I do really, it's only kind of since I had the kids, really, which is terrible that I wasn't, you know, conscious of what I was putting into my body for 30 plus years before that. But I really, really am conscious about, you know, where is our food coming from? And, you know, is it good quality food? And the meat that we get, is there nutrition in it? And, you know, how close to home can I source my food? So I really look forward to that.
And, you know, Emma, we're very lucky. I mean, we have some amazing suppliers and producers in Cork and in Ireland in general. There really is. And I think it's just about having the knowledge, knowing where to get it, how to get it, so on and so forth. So it's, you know, I think it's going to be a really nice topic to talk about next time around.
I can't wait. Clara, thank you so much.
Thanks, Seymour.
Again for episode 2. And I look forward to talking to you in a couple of days. You can find our first chat over on redextra.ie, along with all of the other fantastic content from all of the team at Red FM. A very special thank you again to Killian Pettit. He is my knight in shining armor because I'm doing this from home. I really miss the studio so much, but we're all doing our bit and social distancing. So thank you to Killian for having the patience of a saint to go through this, because I know the sound isn't what it usually is. Thank you for listening. We hope you learned something from this episode, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this Red FM podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and check out redextra.ie for more great Red FM content.